Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Deuteronomy 8:3. Who orders your life? Who is sovereign over all of his creation? When the sovereign utters the word, it is done. We don't live by our own works. We live by everything that issues from God. The same word who spoke these in Deuteronomy spoke it again when he was being tempted. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. Yep, Jesus. It hurts to look at all the bad news on the net, not the least of which is the inevitable hunger and subsequent starvation beginning to sweep the globe. It's a root from which violent upheavals come. Sure is. And death circles like a rabid camp dog. We stand witness to the judgment and wrath of our God. We have sighed and cried over the abominations in the city. And as God has marked those few in Ezekiel's time, I pray, we pray, he will do so today. There's nothing we can do to stem the flow of the wrath upon the earth and its inhabitants. We can only pray we might be accounted worthy to escape these things and be passed over. Luke 21:36. I was given a word for this year, and it was quite simply decline and judgment. Business as usual, prophetically. How else should we read all the prophecies of the last days? There are no periods of sunshine in this storm. It is downhill, hard and fast, and into a time never before seen nor to be repeated. And having to be literally cut short, because nothing would survive it. So now, as I have stated over the last few years, the famine of the word has come to be manifest as a famine of food, gasoline, money, durable goods. And this phenomenon is only the first in a string of troubles which fast approach on famine's heels. Now we can bellyache about the price of cheese nips and the price of gas, but we shouldn't. Many food banks out there are empty. Money for their support has dried up. There are 3 million souls alone serviced by food banks in New York City, who are no longer being aided by these benevolent agencies. Do the math and take a look in your own state or county. Where are we now? We must be realistic about all this. This is caused by God because of our sins, rebellion, pride. And there are promises to God's ecclesia which only God's ecclesia can take comfort in. We know whether we starve or we live, we do not belong here. We are sojourners. Our provisions are proceeding out of the mouth of God. We belong to our God. And if it is his will and good pleasure, his promises will never fall flat like the promises of men. But are we rolling the dice in faith? Or are we simply trusting God where we are right now? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat, John 6:31. Well, manna from heaven was a type and a shadow of the bread of life, Jesus Christ, who was coming. And their bellies were fed. Ponder that. Will we curse our God when the pantries lie empty? God forbid. What's at the heart of our trials, saints? What's the object of our trials? Yep, our faith. Do we think our faith will be tested only to a certain extent and then we cruise on into the kingdom? Not. Our faith is at the center of our hope. Are we in despair over what we see? Well, we'd better back the truck up if we are. I tell you, as God lives, the Father will take care of his own over and above what any man or system can do. And we know this. God's people ate from the sky in their wilderness journey. The manna came from above. The word of God comes from above. Many parallels up there in John 6:31, Deuteronomy 8:3. Why are we so antsy over what goes on in the world that we are commanded to forsake? Hypocrites, anyone? Examine yourselves. Get back into the refuge and shut the doggone door. O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Matthew 16:8. Why do we reason among ourselves when the trouble comes? Well, Jesus says it is because of too little faith. That's too absolute for some of us. Well, go someplace else. It's simple. It's faith. It's the gift. That's what it's all about. With eyes on Christ, our example, should the waves of the stormy sea distract us? Do we sink like Peter did when he took his eyes off Jesus? I hope not. I need to make something clear here. These passages of Scripture about God's provision for his remnant then and now are not to be taken as some kind of formula like the churches concoct. Never. We're not talking like Christian witch doctors here. I do not know if God will take care of me when the cheese nips run out, saints. I don't. I trust that he will. And then most importantly, God will do this by his knowing of the intent of my heart in this. It's all about intent. Why do you want to make it through, saints? For whose glory? For what reason? Examine yourselves on this issue. The big issue, it's God's sovereignty. Surrender. And since we're told to work out our salvation in fear and trembling, examine ourselves, make our calling and election sure, can any of us really divine whether Father has it in mind to sustain us or let us be killed? What, does he owe us something? Look to God and his promises, but do not assume that we deserve anything. Leave it in his hands. It is for his glory and not our pleasure. Additionally, we tend to fear these things which are coming upon the earth too much, to an extent that we begin to finger God's promises like a talisman around our necks. Don't go there, saints. It's God's call, his good pleasure, to save whom he will, protect whom he will, have mercy upon whom he will have mercy, and have compassion upon whom he will have compassion. I do not know how much trust any of you have in Father. Only Father does. Never presume anything, especially when you're looking in the mirror. If we're in him through Jesus Christ, we will either suffer death or be sustained until the end. We shouldn't want to hold on so hard to our desire to make it to the end of the movie here. Try not to be profane, but that's basically what it amounts to. You know, we slip from his will when we do this. His will is that we serve him, not ourselves. If God is merciful to preserve our bodies through what is coming, then so be it. But do we consider that Father may have ordained some of us to die for our faith? Well, some of us will. If we do not know our end, how dare we assume we'll make it to the time which is to be cut short? You really want to walk that road? You really want to see the sights along that road? When it's so bad that all life on this planet would be destroyed? If it's His will, we'll see it. And if not, we won't. But it's not pretty. Even an innocent presumption of our being covered can darken our light and make way to unbelief. Hate to say that, but we've got to keep ourselves in check. We have got to keep an eye on our bellies. This kind of innocent presumption will take our eyes off God and our feet from our paths. There's danger at every turn if we are not focused on Christ, if we are not focused on our God. What do you think what's going on around us is causing? Much distraction, at least. There's death and chaos, there's ruin, there's war. There's a lot to have to deal with. We have to make it and keep it simple. We believe His promises that He will cover us, then amen, that's fine. But don't go any further like rolling the dice. We don't roll the dice of our faith. We trust in our God right where we are today. Need I remind you of Romans 14:8? For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Who makes those choices? Who makes that call? We chose to follow Him. We chose to surrender, to lay ourselves on an altar before God. You know, not squirming. We talk about responsibility. You know, that's a word that has caused much devastation in the spiritual Christian world across the planet, especially when it comes to their proselytizing, their evangelism. What's our responsibility? Split the word responsibility into two words, response and ability. I know it's a little semantic twist here, but do it that way, response and ability. So what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is our response to His ability. And it's the truth. How do we respond to His ability? How did Jesus respond to Father's ability? Surrender and trust in Him. It's not ourselves. It wasn't even Jesus. He wanted everything for the Father. He wanted Father to do everything through Him that He might be glorified. Same deal today, saints. And His will is done, pleasant or not in our lives, period. God's will is done, despite us. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. John 6:35. Jesus tells us straight up, that it isn't about the reasoning over food, clothing, shelter, the Tao. Jesus tells us it's about the kingdom we claim to be a part of. Matthew 6:31-34 states in Jesus' words, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Who knoweth? Your heavenly Father knoweth, folks. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are you seeking the kingdom of God first and His righteousness? Then all these things shall be added unto you. Examine yourself. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Interesting scripture. Don't think about tomorrow. Where tomorrow's got its own thing going on way beyond you. That's in God's mind, His provision, His ordination. Sufficient today is the evil thereof that we have to contend with. We must contend for our faith. We must fight a good fight today, not tomorrow. Not down the road when the cheese nips run out. Duh. We should know this. Things around us are coming apart at a fast pace now. And yeah, it's going to get worse. Doesn't take a rocket scientist or a theologian to figure that out. Are we going to forget the good fight of faith? Are we going to forget our first love? Are we serving two masters? It's impossible to serve two masters, but we try, don't we? If Christ's kingdom is not of this world and we are separated from this world to our God, what's with the dual allegiances? On a little lighter subject, but related, every now and again when we dump the fear of this world and settle into God's rest where we belong, Hebrews 4:11, we can enjoy some real cruising down our narrow way. It's not a joke. It's because we're not in the way. God's will is being done. He's driving, and we're cruising in His will. This fight of faith is no cakewalk, but sometimes when we finally let go of ourselves and our pettiness and trust our God completely, it can be a real treat to be along for the ride, so to speak. How much of ourselves are we willing to offer up as a living sacrifice? Are a reasonable service, Romans 12:1. If Christ is our all in all, we offer up everything, saints. He did. Since the garden expulsion, we trusted in men and chariots, gold and silver, and pride was and is the accelerant that lights the so great a fire of tribulation in this world. And it's simply our pride which is at the heart of this sore travail we experience. It's our pride which leads us to unbelief. Today we're faced with the fruits of pride and they are being judged. Pride in the tongue. It's an old article. I think it was an audio message. The deadly duo. A truly deadly duo. Pride and the tongue. Look at the damage it's caused. And our judgment has only begun. Our judgment has only begun with this economic war, which is causing real earthly famine, which will bring pestilence and then death. Go figure. And if we're not on top of this stuff now, in our faith, some of us may not stand the crashing waves which will come with such frequency that no one will be able to catch their breath. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you are a living sacrifice, then don't squirm around on the altar. Jesus Christ, the bread of life, is better than that which our bodies need. That is which is first sought when we come to Christ, when we come to Father through Christ. We seek His bread, His feeding first. All other things will be given unto us, provided for us. Also, Jesus Christ Himself tells us to ask. How about give us this day our daily bread? Okay then, ask. And stop worrying about the pantry or the cost of oil. Get back to your first love, the kingdom we say we seek. And get real now. There isn't much time and our faith is being tested daily. I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Luke 12:5. Fear him which after he hath killed Chew on that one. I say if we trust our God, we have no need of any fear. Excuse me, it was Jesus Christ who said it first. If any of us need fear anything or anyone than God, we're liars, and the truth is not in us. Examine yourselves. I'll do the same for myself too, all the time. I say don't shipwreck, saints. Keep your eyes on Jesus and not the Tao. Things are going to really pick up shortly. And will you be standing your ground, holding fast to your faith? Hebrews 3:6, Hebrews 4:14, Hebrews 10:23, standing firm, Hebrews 3:6. Yeah, standing and holding. Think about that, saints, standing and holding. Are we standing and holding, or are we wandering and folding? Let's get a grip. Let's take a deep breath and settle down into our refuge, capital R. I could give a rip what the world can do to me or my house. I'm not of this world. I'm an alien now. All it's missing is the antenna. How about you? The best part of us sits in the heavenlies. And whether starving or full or broke or not so broke, we dine on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, through the great and holy Spirit of the Father. So I say, belly up to the table and eat. And except for those chosen to be caught up with Christ in the air at his return after the graves are opened, the rest of us, even throughout all of history, the rest of us, we don't make it out of this zoo physically alive. Righteous, ungodly, or sinner. Not one of us. God's will be done. I have offered this to you in sincerity and in gravity. I refer to Titus 2:7. Let not the truth be corrupted in you, saints. I say let God's will be done. I say living sacrifices have no care for what may befall them as long as they are serving their master. I say the bread which is Christ will never cause hunger or want. To repeat, Jesus said it first about himself. I say choose this day whom you shall serve. For all of us, we should be of the heart that declares, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I will maintain my own ways before him. Job 13:15, and I will maintain my own ways before him doesn't mean works. Just thought I'd throw that in. Jesus Christ is our life. Though our food becomes scarce, though armies rampage, though storm and plague rage, fill in the blanks. I say, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. John 6:34. May our God be glorified. May he bless and keep his saints to his glory and praise. No matter what. Despite us, so be it.